AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of De Stefano Talks, talking Scottish football, and this is episode number 20. We are officially two episodes away from the end of the season. On the podcast today, we will be recapping all the action from the Scottish Cup semi-final between the games of St Mirren and St Johnstone, as well as Dundee United and Hibernian. Also on the podcast today, we will be looking at our Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year and Manager of the Year nominations, and we will also be discussing which three players should be added into Steve Clarke's squad for the Euros, because as we know, we are now allowed to take 26 players to the Euro, and there's three spots that have opened up that need to be filled. On the podcast with me today, as always, is Lewis. Lewis, how you doing?
You're not too bad, Steph. And pleasure as always.
Good stuff. Also, we have Declan. Declan, how you doing?
Good, Mitch. Good to be back on.
No, good to have you back, mate. And also on the podcast, who's becoming somewhat of a regular, it is Adam Kennedy. Adam, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Stefan. Yeah, delighted to make it three in a row, so thank you very much for having me for a third week on the spin.
No, it's all good, mate. I'm glad to have you on. Let's just get into it then with the first game of the weekend, which was Dundee United and Hibernian. Going into this one, who did you expect to win?
It's a bit of a strange one because, obviously, I'd say Hibs were probably the favourites going into it, but, you know, you've seen Dundee United's last result in the Cup. It was a 3-0 win against Aberdeen, so you felt as though if they could turn up, they could maybe have a chance. But as I say, Hibs, you would expect to be favourites going into the game. And in the end, they came out winning. That's sort of the result that was expected. Dundee United, I think they did put up a bit of a fight and could have scored a few in the game. But no, I thought the favourites went through in that one.
What about yourself, Declan?
Yeah, I think for both semi-finals, it was kind of who I expected to go through, did go through. So I wasn't too surprised when Hibs went through. I think, as Lewis was saying, like Dundee United had chances, and I know Mickey Mellon was frustrated with the kind of offside incident, but he's got to look at his own side, not taking their chances. I think they had quite a few, albeit Hibs were the better side. I think Hibs pretty much got their tactic spot on. I think they utilised their big players well in the top end of the park, and they were all holding the ball up very well with Boyle running off them, and it was just causing Dundee United a lot of kind of problems. And then obviously that's where the Nisbet's first goal comes from, and the ball gets held up by Irvine, I think, and he plays it off to Nisbet, and arguably one of the best I'd say he's one of the best finishers in this country, obviously, this season with the goals he scored. So not really a surprise for me, and I think Jack Ross did get his tactics spot on. They deserve to be in the final.
What did you think, Adam?
Yeah, I think the league table doesn't lie, does it? And ultimately it was sort of looking at that Premiership table, what we all expected, and that Hibs and St Johnstone obviously advanced to a cup final, another Hampden meeting between the two this season, obviously having met in the Betfred Cup semi-final as well.
Looking at the game, should Hearts have put Dundee United 2-0 up very early on? He had two brief chances. Was he unlucky, or could he have done more to ensure that the ball went in the back of the net, Lewis?
Yeah, it's one of those ones. You know, I think he does sort of perfectly with his sort of run off of Shanklin. You know, it's just that touch, you know, you see it comes to him, and all he needs to do is take that first touch, get ahead of sort of Portis and put the ball away. But I think Marvin Bartley mentioned it. Maybe it could be something like a little bit of nerves, you know, start of the game at Hampden Park, and he's got a chance early on to put them 1-0 up, but it's just that touch that lets him down.
What about yourself, Adam?
Yeah, I think it's a decent opportunity for United, particularly, well, the first one, after Josh Doig gives possession away so cheaply. I mean, I'm a big fan of his, but United seem to break pretty well. I agree with Lewis in that it's a terrible touch from Ian Harkes, but I don't think that the pass from Lauren Shankland is a great help either. I think for me, it could perhaps come that little bit sooner, or obviously goes without saying, he's looking to play a better pass, which probably then equals a better touch, and Ian Harkes then surely buries it.
And Declan?
Yeah, I mean, when you're up against Hibs and the kind of firepower they've got in the top, you know, you're going to concede a lot of chances, which they did. So Dundee United have got to take the ones that they can get. And I thought, obviously, when Dodge gave it away and he was kind of slipped through, he's got to show more composure there to finish it. I know it's a semi-final at Hampden, but, you know, you could maybe argue if there was fans there and they kind of, you know, got on top of him a wee bit, but I just feel as if he had to show more composure there to finish that off. I think, was that not a 0-0? So if he scores that, then that could change the complexion of the game. So he's got to do better.
Okay. Cool finish from Nisbet, but was the goal self-inflicted damage with the poor defensive header from Reynolds? Because the ball goes up in the air and Reynolds sort of knocks it down instead of heathering it away and it falls to a Hibs player. Was it self-inflicted or was it just great play from Hibs? Adam?
I feel it was fairly self-inflicted, to be honest. I actually thought it was Liam Smith at right back.
Yeah, I think it was.
The initial header. Yeah, and I think Mark Reynolds at centre-half probably has to get out that little bit quicker. I think for, you know, a forward of Kevin Nisbet's calibre, it was 17 goals the season prior to that chance. It's virtually inevitable that he makes it 18 with a smart finish sort of on the edge of the area. It's a decent strike and a decent position with which he finishes, you know, with aplomb.
Lewis?
Yeah, I think it's a great finish. I think he makes it look easier than what it is. You know, I think you have to get that spot on the way he's put it in the corner past Mehmet. So it's a great finish from Nisbet, but as you say, the Dundee United defence, they would be hoping to do better with Smith's header. I think in the sort of opening stages, he wasn't great in the game. So with that header, you just need to get it away from goal rather than up in there, and they'll be wishing they did better with that one.
Declan?
Yeah, it's a bit of both for me. I think self-inflicted, obviously could do better clearing the ball away, but I think Hibs knew what they were doing. Looking back to obviously what I was saying about they were putting high balls at times up top to big men, and it was falling because they knew if the ball falls to either Dodge or Nisbet, they're clinical and they're going to score. So I think it's a bit of both, but yeah, it's a tidy finish, and it's one that I'm not surprised by because of how good Kevin Nisbet's been this season.
We often talk about the inconsistencies of refereeing in Scottish football. Christian Dodge scored Hibs' second goal of the afternoon, but he was about a yard offside. Was he not, Lewis?
Yeah, it's extremely poor. You sort of see it on the replay that he has a good yard offside. I don't even think the linesman's in a dreadful position. He's looking right along the line, so it's pretty poor to miss that one, especially, you know, one of Dundee United's biggest games this season. Decisions like that, you know, the Dundee United defence actually doing the right thing, stepping up and playing him offside, but then it's the assistant referee that lets him down a bit with that one.
Adam?
Yeah, he is offside, but in fairness, I think sort of as you're watching it on the telly with the angle that the camera's at, when I first saw it, I wasn't so sure. It appeared initially as though Jamie Robson at left back, I think it is, looks as though he's playing Big Dodge onside, but can't take anything away from the finish. It was absolute textbook and two great goals and thoroughly deserved for Hibs to be two up, in my opinion, there.
Declan?
Yeah, he was offside, but as Adam was saying, maybe from the linesman's point of view, the Dundee United left-back was kind of maybe in his way, but it's hard to kind of get them right, albeit as offside. That, you know, it's the Hibs quick interchanges of play, and playing through the Dundee United defence might have played a wee part in, you know, how the linesman just maybe took his eye off it. But yeah, tidy finish, and another one where it was just placed perfectly right in the corner.
I don't think anyone's going to take away the sort of calibre of finish it was from Christian Dodge, but if you're the Dundee United manager, you're surely looking at that and saying, well, if they don't get that sort of luck that they got, that the game is still there for Dundee United to chase. Once it's 2-0, that, you know, you've then got a mountain to climb. Surely the referee and the linesman must be working together to realise that it definitely was offside, because when I saw it on the highlight package and I seen the ball getting played through, I was like, he's offside there. And I could see that, but I had the vantage point of the camera. But surely the referee and linesman, they have to do better there to get that decision right, because that's a really poor decision, is it not, Lewis?
I suppose it's these fine margins for Dundee United in this cup semi-final, you know, the offside decision, the Liam Smith header. It's all about those fine margins, and, you know, the assistant referee, these are sort of calls you're eye on, especially when a Dundee United defence step up like that. So it is a bit of a poor one.
Adam?
I totally echo what Lewis says with the sort of fine margins, because we were on about sort of an Ian Harkes chance early. There's another one where there's a header and nobody's picking Ian Harkes up. So I think he can afford a couple of yards sort of to run into, if I'm honest, which probably means that he's not having to stretch from the ball. I think it is from Mark McNulty out on the right. But listen, to win tournaments, you need quality. You still need that bit of luck. And Hibs, you can say what you like, but obviously they're now in the final, having progressed on penalties against Motherwell and been somewhat fortunate for the second goal against United. But to be honest, on the balance of play, I thought it was a thoroughly deserved win for Hibernian.
Declan.
Yeah, I mean, Mickey Mellon's obviously is frustrated with the decision, and you can understand why, but as I said before, like, Dundee United had chances as well to, you know, even take the lead, obviously, with Ian Harkes' chance, and then who knows what happens from there. So it's easy to say now, like, oh, what would have happened if they ruled out the second goal? Maybe we could have made it 1-1. But if Ian Harkes scores that goal early on, it could have been 1-0, and the game could have went the complete opposite way. But I just think, you know, Dundee United had chances and they didn't take them, so Hibs did deserve to go through.
Okay, let's just finish off on Matt Macey. He made a great stop to deny Lauren Shankland at 2-0, one that could, you know, you see in other games that he probably would have scored because the keeper wouldn't have got down that fast. How good of an acquisition is Matt Macey signing on for a 2-year deal, considering Ofir Marciano is on his way out of Hibs at the end of the season? Adam?
He certainly seems to have cemented his place as kind of first choice for Hibs going forward. I actually think, considering that he appears to be slipping, I think it's a decent ball from Mark McNulty, to be honest. But lovely bit of evasive movement from Lauren Shankland to obviously evade his man before sending it goalward. And for a big guy, I mean, you see everywhere that Matt Macey's 6'7". I think that was the case when Hibs signed him. He does very well to get down and reach what looked an inevitable goal for me.
Lewis?
Yeah, I think Adam's spot on with the Shankland chance. You know, you see this lots of strikers, it's a great bit of movement. He sort of makes a movement towards the back post and then sprints to the front post. It's a great ball in by McNulty, and it's a good save from Macey. And as you say, I think he will be a good signing. You know, Marciano, he's been a good keeper for Hibs over the last few years, and now he's moving on, but they seem to have got their replacement nice and quickly, and you would expect him to be in between the six come the end of the season and next season.
Declan?
Yeah, I think Hibs will be glad to have replaced Marciano. I don't think any Hibs supporters could maybe have predicted that they would kind of get an instant replacement. And I suppose time will tell as the kind of games move on and next season approaches. But it was kind of a chance, maybe, you know, as Adam was saying, he thought it was looking goalward. Like, I genuinely thought that Shanklin would have probably scored. He's quite a clinical player. I know he's not been maybe as clinical as what he was in the Championship before, but it was one I thought would go in. It was a great save, and Hibs will be glad they've got him going forward, and they've made a replacement that quickly.
Okay, Hibs make it to the final. Let's move on to the battle of the Saints between St Mirren and St Johnstone. Before the game, Declan, you said that, you know, you weren't surprised by, you know, the teams that reached the final, so we got your answer early on. Lewis, what about yourself? Before the game, who did you realistically see going through on that one?
Yeah, I think there's no sort of, I think we spoke about sort of similar in the season when Livingston went on a run. You know, there was a point where we were like, well, I can't see past Livingston winning, but now it's sort of St Johnstone's time, and when they're going into games, whoever it's against, you know, you're expecting them to sort of come out as winners, and they were favourites going into it, and they've obviously won the game, and now they've got another cup final to look forward to.
Adam?
Yeah, I think given their Betfred Cup exploits, that St Johnstone were the favourites for me heading into this one. And I actually predicted 2-1 on Pass the Mic, so there you go. Spot on.
Nah, okay. Let's look at the game then. Should St Mirren have had a penalty early doors, Lewis?
It's a hard one because I can see sort of both sides, you know. He's had the shot and it looks as though it's heading towards goal, so it's hit his hand. So you could say it's a penalty, but again, what is the handball rule nowadays? Like, I don't think MD sort of knows, because it is very close to him. So is there a way he could, is that unnatural position, you know? There's just so many rule changes now. Who knows if it's a penalty or not?
Declan?
I think it's a penalty. I mean, I know, like, they're close, you know, in proximity to each other, but I think the way the ball's going and it is travelling towards the goal, and I know, like, when the defender kind of moves her body, the arms kind of need to go with it, or else, you know, they'll fall flat in their arse kind of thing. So it was one of them that is a tough one, and, you know, because he is so close, people will say, is that fair? But to be honest, I do think it was a penalty.
Adam?
I sort of echo both the guys' thoughts. I mean, it is going goalwards, but I don't really know where Jamie McCart, I think it is meant to put his hand, to be honest. I just think it's such a sort of common occurrence in the game these days that we sort of, as football fans and those with an interest in the game, ought to have a bit more clarity, like Lewis says, because I just think we need a definitive handball rule, because it's the type that you sometimes see given and equally not. So,
okay. Xander Clark made cracking save to deny St Mirren. Is he starting to potential starting to grow a little bit, and, you know, could he see himself getting a move to a bigger club, or do you think he's probably happy where he's at with St Johnstone? Adam,
I don't see why he'd want to leave St Johnstone, to be honest. I just feel as though if St Johnstone can keep a hold of their players, they've got a right good young squad. And, I mean, his save from Lee Irwin is just a phenomenal stop. Again, going back to Pass the Mic, I was having this very discussion, and upon reflection, I don't feel as though there's a lot more that Lee Irwin can do. It's a great ball from Christian Dennis on the left-hand side, virtually, you know, on a plate for his strike partner, who gets it on target at a ferocious pace, but it's a top stop from a very underrated goalkeeper in my eyes.
Declan?
Yeah, I think for it, obviously every good team needs a solid goalkeeper. We've seen that this season with the Rangers and how crucial Alan McGregor's been. And to be successful and win trophies, you need a good goalkeeper. And I think that's why St Johnstone have got a chance, obviously, going and doing the double now. Like, Xander Clark's performed well this season when they've needed him. And in terms of the game, I thought there wasn't a lot to split both teams in. He came up trumps a few times with a couple of good saves, and especially that one that you're talking about. It was a crucial save, and his anticipation there was brilliant. And he's just got a knack of being in the right place to save shots at times, and I think it is a obviously good attribute to have as a goalkeeper. But in terms of him staying at St Johnstone, it's a hard one to predict. As Adam was saying, they've got a decent squad, and I actually think if they manage to keep some key players they can push on again and maybe even challenge, you know, Aberdeen and catch them at a good time, because they're obviously going through the transitional phase. Who knows? But he's 28 now and stuff, so I think it would be one of the ones, if he was to leave, it would be for, like, another team maybe in the SPFL.
Lewis, what about yourself?
I think with the sort of save, he probably doesn't know much about it, but it's sort of brilliant goalkeeping to make himself bigger. And as Adam mentions, you know, Lehrin probably can't do much more. He gets the touch on it, but Clark's just in the way. He seems to be sort of on inspired form at the moment, and he'll be looking forward to a cup final, you know. In terms of moving on, at the age he's at, I think I could see him staying at St Johnstone, but at the same time, I think his contract's up next summer. So if he was to move somewhere, it would be elsewhere in the SPFL. Let's see how Matt Macey does. Maybe that'll be something that comes about with Hibs or something. But no, I think I can see him staying at St Johnstone.
Okay. Should St Johnstone have seen red for a ferocious challenge on Doyle Hayes, Adam?
David Witherspoon doesn't win the ball. but play is allowed to continue. So I actually think it's decent officiating for once, given that he goes back to book David Witherspoon. But whether it merits a red card, I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. I would say that the referee got it right on this occasion, personally.
Declan?
I'd also agree that the referee got it right. You know, it's a kind of reckless challenge, but if like obviously he's looking at the balance of play and how like they're progressing forward and stuff, so he's not gave like the foul. But I'm not sure. I think probably was the correct decision.
Lewis, what about yourself?
Yeah, it's not often you get sort of three people agreeing with the referee, but I think he does get it spot on. You know. Witherspoon, he doesn't win the ball. He does catch Doyle Hayes, but I think it's not enough to merit the red card. You know, I thought the yellow was the right call from Willie Colm.
Okay. Great finish from Chris Kane, but could St Mirren have done better, Adam?
Yeah, I think they'll be disappointed. I've got to be honest, I think the introduction of Glenn Middleton, you could argue, changed the game. It's a well-worked goal. Obviously, Callum Booth does what Lauren Shanklin couldn't for United with Ian Harksey's chance, and that I believe it's a perfectly timed pass to Glenn Middleton. Lovely first-time ball and a good finish from Chris Kane, which you could perhaps argue was against the run of play and had St Johnstone ahead. And yeah, just feel as though perhaps, I think, is it Joe Shaughnessy sliding in with him? Has got to sort of get the other side, ideally. But a very disappointing goal to concede, because I don't feel as though St Mirren are all that weak at the back, to be honest. I actually think that's probably one of, if not their strongest area.
Lewis, what about yourself?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. That's probably not a goal Jim Goodwin will be, it'll be a goal that Jim Goodwin's frustrated with, you know, not one they want to concede. I think they've sort of caught them a wee bit on the counter in terms of winning the ball back and attacking, and Middleton's just got a bit too much space in the left. He's allowed to pick up his head and just put a ball in, and it's good anticipation from Chris Kane to sort of get across and win the ball first, but you know, you'd expect the marking to be a little bit better with that one and get ahead of your man.
Declan?
Yeah, I'd echo what Adam has to say about Middleton coming on changing the game. You know, he's technically very good, and there's a reason why Rangers are loaning him out and they don't want to lose him, because they obviously see that he has a talent kind of going forward. And to bring on, like, obviously another great decision for Callum Davidson, and it's the kind of decisions that get you cup finals and win you cups, because bringing him on definitely changed the game. Another outlet with good ball into the box, and it's one of the balls that you just need to throw yourself at, and that's the kind of player Chris Kane is. You know, he's quite physical, and he'll just throw himself at kind of crosses and different kind of balls in, and it was a deserving goal for him.
Okay, Adam, you mentioned that Glenn Middleton changed the game. He scored a stunning free kick, but could, I think it was Jack Anik in goal, could he have done better?
Yeah, I think considering the keeper doesn't move, I'd say that, yeah, he probably should. It's not as though it's sort of a postage stamp finish sort of right in the top corner or anything like that. It's virtually in the centre of Jack Anik's goal. Obviously, last week we were talking about Glenn Middleton scoring the winner at Easter Road. And like I say, I was surprised to see him on the bench, but it's a great cameo as a substitute from arguably now Saints' super sub. So that's perhaps why I'm not a manager and Callum Davidson could be closing in on manager of the year.
Lewis, what about yourself?
Yeah, Middleton is obviously the impact player. I think he wins the free kick as well. So he's confident in that situation. He steps up and hits it, and it's a great strike. You know, a lot of power behind it, but you would expect that St Mirren will be a bit disappointed with it. I think maybe he's just caught him a wee bit off guard with the power behind it and stuff. But yeah, not taken away from the strike, but you would hope that he'd get across a bit better than that.
Declan?
Yeah, there was a lot of power behind it. So obviously, maybe Anik and goals kind of maybe not anticipated that it would come that quick at him, and that's why he's been rooted to the spot. But I think that you've got to be expecting him to at least move and attempt to try and get it there, you know what I mean? And maybe he won't, but he should have at least made an attempt, because it's not one of them ones it's culling right into the corner and it's like stretching away from him. It's like within good enough distance for him to reach if he makes an attempt. But maybe that's what I'm saying, and in terms of an Annex favour. Maybe he just didn't anticipate it coming that fast, but that's just his own downfall there.
Should St Johnston have done better for St Mirren's goal through McCarthy, Lewis?
I think you're always going to be frustrated sort of conceding a set piece, especially in those like later stages of the game, because you want to shut up shop and not make it as nervy like that, because I can imagine what St Johnston fans would be like after seeing that goal was conceded, you know, watching it from behind the couch. But I think it's a great ball in by McGrath and a good header to finish home, but it's always the marking will frustrate you to tell them to get up and win that header.
Adam?
Yeah, totally agree. I think it's a good header from Conor McCarthy, but I even think just looking at the game, that sort of perfectly encapsulates St Mirren's season. I think their best chances were always going to come from set pieces. I think I mentioned it on here last week that when I watch St Mirren, I'm not too confident in their striking options. I don't believe that Lee Irwin's the answer. I think if Eamon Brophy's fit, and he evidently was, given he came on, he should start. I think Big John Obika causes problems. So to see him up against a strong defensive trio, which St Johnston have got, would have been interesting. But yeah, I think St Johnston could do more to prevent the header, but it probably was St Mirren's best chance, even at sort of 2-0 down, to get back into the game.
Declan?
Yeah, I mean, I do think St Johnston could have done better, but at the end of the day, like, they've played a lot of football. They've, you know, it's probably going into the final, you know, 5-10 minutes of the game, it's going to be nervy for them, and it's probably just been down to that. Like, they're trying to, you know, just see this out. Don't do anything stupid here that would give St Mirren a sniff to get back in it late on. And I think you can cut them some slack just because of the occasion and how nervy it would have been. But because they know, obviously, how much at stake. Like, I know there's no kind of pressure on them to get the double, but that's, like, history that's never been seen before. So, you know, I'd cut some St Johnston some slack in that case.
Okay. Let's move on. We've covered both games from the Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. We now know that St Johnston will play Hibs in the final. Let's just quickly give her a quick prediction. Who do you see winning the Scottish Cup now we know who the finalists are? Lewis?
I think it'll be a good cup final between the two sides. Obviously, I think St Johnston will go in with sort of the mental edge because they've beaten Hibs and this season and have also won the cup. So I would say I think St Johnston will come out on top. Another sort of close game between two good sides, and I'll say 2-1 St Johnston.
Adam?
I'll say that Hibs will win it despite St Johnston having that edge that Lewis talks about. I actually think St Johnston, am I right in saying that they've won all the league meetings between the two this season, sort of by the odd goal? I don't even think they've conceded to Hibs in the league this season.
I think they lost one earlier in the season.
Is that right?
McDermott Park.
Oh, maybe. But anyway, I know that, obviously, with my Hibs pals, that St Johnston's a bit of a bogey team. I just feel as though this sort of run has to come to an end. And obviously, with Hibs having reached sort of the semi-finals of last season's Scottish Cup, this season's Betfred Cup, maybe it's, obviously, now it's third time lucky with getting through the semi-final. So perhaps it just sets them up for a final victory.
Declan?
I think there's a bit more pressure on Hibs going into this game in terms of the size of the club in comparison with St Johnston, and just in terms of what fans' expectations are over at Hibernian. But I think that I think St Johnston will come out on top as well, and I think that it will be a tight game, but I just think it's been kind of written in the stars ever since the heroics of Ibrox and the Xander Clark kind of stuff, and even, you know, how obviously we all know how good he was that game at Ibrox and how good he was again yesterday, and I think he'll be kind of key in their winning the final. So I'll go St Johnston.
Okay. Let's move on and look at the Player of the Year, the Young Player of the Year, and the Manager of the Year nominations. I asked the guys before, you know, we came on to tell me who you think should be, you know, the winners of the respective sort of awards. Adam, let's go with you. Who is your Player of the Year?
Player of the Year, I was sort of toying with the idea of James Tavernier, but obviously prior to his injury, I think he would have been my choice, but given sort of the consistency, how frequently he's featured, I'm going to go with Connor Goldson for my player of the year.
Any specific reason other than, you know, I think he's played every single game for Rangers. Is there anything specific that he's done that you think merits him to win that?
I mean, everybody's sort of talked about Rangers, you know, rear guard, haven't they? And how defensively solid they have been domestically. And Conor Goldson ultimately has to be the sort of mainstay within that, aside from Alan McGregor, who again was in contention. But I've just opted for Conor Goldson because I believe he came under sort of a lot of slack when first joining Rangers. And to have seen his development over the past few years, this season arguably being his best, I think he'd be a worthy recipient for me.
Okay. Lewis, what about yourself? Who's your player of the year?
I think throughout the season there's sort of been different candidates at different times. You know, as Adam mentioned, James Tavernier at one point, I think Stephen Davis, Conor Goldson, McGregor. It's because I think McGregor, he didn't even start the season, did he really? They were switching between him and McLaughlin. But it's a tough one sort of between the four. Maybe a few other players you could pick, but I think I'll say Stephen Davis for the impact he's had in the middle of the park.
Okay. Declan, what about yourself? Who's your player of the year?
I think it's interesting now hearing what the two guys have said, because I'm going to go for someone different from that as well. I think that in terms of like the candidates, I don't think that you could really argue with if any one of them got it. You know, I think they were all deserving. Rangers as a team this whole season, I don't think they've really had a kind of bad player as such. I think everyone that's been nominated has deserved to win it. But I'm going to opt for Alan McGregor, just because, as Adam was saying, he makes a good point about Goldson. Goldson's changed a lot since last season, even seasons prior to that as well. I think like he's came back and he's rarely made a mistake this season. You know, they've been solid at the back. We've all seen how their kind of goals conceded record at home has been very low. Mm-hmm. But I just think that Alan McGregor, you know, I think he's like the kind of reason why, like it kind of starts with him and then it stems onto the defence, because I feel like he gives the defence so much confidence, and that'll be why they're performing to the highest level they can as well. I just think that even not only the defence, but Rangers are a team, they go into Europe and they feel like, obviously, they need to be switched on, but if something happens, Alan McGregor's got he's got a brilliant chance of saving it. He's a brilliant keeper, and I just think that, like, at certain points this season where things could have changed, you know, I always look back at the Old Firm and at like the New Year kind of game, and it was, you know, the Griffiths chance. Like, if that goes in, and then you've still, you know, that changes that game, and then does that change fixtures that are upcoming? You could argue maybe not. I just think that he's the reason why, not the sole reason, but he is one of the main reasons why Rangers have done so well, because he breeds so much, he gives like the team so much confidence going into every fixture.
Okay, I can't really argue with any that you guys have said. I think all three have been nominated for the actual Player of the Year awards. So no, I'm not going to offer any sort of opposition towards that. Adam, let's go back to you. Who is your young Player of the Year?
My young player of the year is Josh Doig of Hibernian. I know that the four candidates were himself, Nathan Patterson, Lewis Ferguson and David Turnbull, wasn't it? So, you know, out that quartet, I think Josh Doig is one of kind of three that have played regularly. And I think if we're looking at Scottish football kind of in the past few years, we're sort of aware of Lewis Ferguson and David Turnbull's kind of exploits in the middle of the park. I just feel as though for Josh Doig, he's just enjoying a fantastic breakthrough season. And ultimately, I think last season was the only one at Queen's Park. Seems to have sort of come back. He's made the left-back berth his own off a club stalwart in Lewis Stevenson. And obviously it's reflected in Hibs's, you know, league position. I think they're on for their first top three finish, I think, since about 2005. They're in various semi-finals, and he seems to be a key component of that team. So it's Josh Doig for me.
Lewis, what about yourself?
You know, I'd have to agree again. Josh Doig would be my young player of the year. I think we've seen at the start of the season, even in pre-season, I think he scored in a friendly against Celtic right at the start in Parkhead, and he was impressive that day, and I think ever since he's been a consistent performer. You know, at 18 years old, to go into that side, replace a guy like Lewis Stevenson, who's got great experience, and he's looked good in the majority of games, you know. Even against Rangers, I think in the games that they've given them, he's looked impressive up against Tavernier and Patterson. So I think he won the Writers' Player of the Year the other day as well. So now you can pick up the De Stefano Talks Young Player of the Year.
Love it. Declan, what about yourself?
Yeah, I think it's another difficult one to choose from. My kind of two were both Doidge and Turnbull. I think Turnbull maybe got brought into the side a wee bit later. You know, Doidge has played the majority of the season, and although Turnbull has, looking back, played quite a lot, you know, if he did play more, I'd have probably chosen him, you know, just because it's obviously 3.8 chances per 90 he creates every game, which is more than, you know, Hamilton, Dundee United, Livingston, Kilmarnock and Ross County. So when you look at that, it's madness, to be honest, and especially in such a poor performance side, for him to stand out and be a shining light in that team is remarkable, really. But, you know, as Adam said, he's kind of, we've been aware of his exploits in Lewis Ferguson as well in the past few seasons. So that's made me obviously go with Doidge, the same as the other guys, just because, you know, I think he's the perfect modern-day fullback. Not perfect as in, you know, he's the full shebang yet, but he's certainly shown a lot of potential, and there's reason that kind of shows why, you know, Leeds and I think another few Premier League clubs were interested in him. And to be honest, if I was the Celtic manager coming in, I'd be looking at him as a right good choice to bring in at left back.
Okay, it seems to be a conclusive win for Josh Doig then. Adam, let's move back to you. Who is your manager of the year?
This is arguably the toughest for me, because I know that I believe that the likelihood is that Steven Gerrard will win it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with guiding Rangers to that league title, stopping Celtic's 10 in a row, 55, you know, all that jazz. But I can't look past Callum Davidson for me. I think just given the resources in comparison, to do the job that he's done with St Johnstone in any season would be fantastic. But particularly when taking over, you know, from Tommy Wright, a club legend, in his first full season as manager, to have guided Saints to, albeit a top six finish, sort of snatched from St Mirren on the last day, he's still got them there. Now in two cup finals, having won one of them, got a good chance of winning the second, despite the fact that I don't believe that they will. But I think given the limited resources and in his first full season as manager, it's just an absolutely phenomenal achievement. So for me, as much as Steven Gerrard will rightly earn the plaudits, I can't look past Callum Davidson, to be honest.
Lewis, what about yourself?
Yeah, I think if you were to sort of look at the start of the season, somebody said Callum Davidson will be manager of the year, you'd probably get laughed at, especially he had a bit of a disappointing start at points. But then obviously they've had so much success, and obviously there's no sort of denying Gerrard's achievements. They've been superb this season. It's likely they'll go unbeaten, but if they're to win the cup double, I don't think you can look past Davidson. You know, obviously they've still got 90 minutes to do to do that, and Gerrard likely will win it because the votes are done sort of beforehand usually. But I think if Davidson wins the cup double, there's no looking past him.
Declan, yourself.
Yeah, this probably was the toughest one, but I've went with Davidson. I just think that it's literally took that guy three quarters of his first season in management to become a legend at the club he's at. You know, I think Adam mentioned before we actually came on, was the odds not higher for obviously St Johnstone to do a double than like Leicester were to win the Premier League?
Yeah.
So I think that just shows how remarkable the achievement is. Even if he doesn't win the final, he's still going to go down as a legend. And to do that in your first season of management, especially with the setbacks they've kind of had throughout the season. I think at the weekend there, they had three or four out with COVID, and three of the players were kind of maybe key, you could argue. So in terms of, it's a really tough one, because obviously Steve Clarke, who was in contention, you know, qualifying for a major tournament with Scotland for the first time in 20 years or something, and then obviously Gerrard stopping the 10. But what makes me just edge Davidson is because maybe you'd be expecting another trophy with Gerrard, just because of the finances that that Rangers have, not taken away from the league achievement, but you'd maybe be expecting them to do a double or a treble, and then you can make a stronger argument. But for Davidson to go on and give himself a chance at a double in his first season of management is crazy, and I think he's really deserving.
Okay. We're running out of time, but the Euros are just over a month away. Scotland will take on the Czech Republic, England and Croatia. There are three players that Steve Clarke can add to his Euro side, along with the 23 that he would normally take. He can now take 26, so he's got three to add. Very quickly, Adam, who is the three that he should take with him?
I've said that David Turnbull's call-up's long overdue. I think Ryan Gold's having a fantastic season with Firenze in Portugal. And if we're going off the last squad, James Forrest is obviously just back from injury as well. So I'd probably argue that it'd be that trio that would board. I was going to say board the plane, but it's probably not, is it? They're hopping on the bus, aren't they? So, yeah, I'll say it's those three.
Lewis, yourself?
Yeah, I think Turnbull was definitely one. I think you've been there. James Forrest, with the impact he can have in the last. I've been very reluctant with this player because I think he's very young and up and coming. That's probably put, but for me, I think Billy Gilmore now has to be a player that's included in there. You know, starting against Man City the weekend, I thought he was brilliant against them, and obviously he gave away the penalty, but apart from that, he was superb during the game. I think there has been a sort of spanner thrown. You know, Ryan Gold has also been superb this season. I think in a way there could be another spot going because Kenny McLean obviously picked up an injury at the weekend. It looks like he could be a doubt. So I think in a way there's probably four spots for these set of players. So yeah, that'd be my three, but I think there's every chance that Gold could get in there.
Okay. Declan, yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there probably will be the kind of four spots available. So I think, you know, I think Forrest, as long as he's fit and he's kind of, you know, he's come back into the Celtic team, and we've already seen how much an impact he can have. And, you know, for Scotland, he has been an important player, and he's played at that level, you know, a high level for years. So I think that he definitely will be included. In terms of the other kind of three, I'd personally go for Turnbull as well, which has been long overdue, as I was mentioning, and running to be a young player of the year, and being a shining light in a team that has underperformed and probably the worst Celtic team I've seen in you know, 20 years or so. So, yeah, he's definitely got to be included. My other two would be Nathan Patterson. I know his situation with the kind of ban might have an impact on that, but to be honest, right back's a area that Scotland are probably weakest in at the minute. So I definitely consider him, and my other option would be Billy Gilmore. You know, I was a bit hesitant on Gilmore just because I think this season he's not played a lot of football, but I think it just confirmed it for me when I seen him, you know, playing against Man City and how good he was. And a guy like who's young and he's got talent like that, to have him as an option would be key. So I think he's got to be included as well.
Okie doke. Well, that sort of wraps up the discussion for today. You know, we've covered the games from the Scottish Cup semi-final. I've asked you who your player of the year, your young player of the year and your manager of the year are, and I've also asked you about your three that you would bring to the Euros as part of Steve Clarke's squad. I think you've all gave some pretty decent answers, none that I can really sort of argue with. If you are listening to this and you sort of disagree and you think that there's other players that should be considered for the Euros, or this player should have been player of the year, or this manager should have been manager of the year, don't hesitate to let us know on Twitter using the podcast Twitter account at DeStefanoTalks. If you have enjoyed the content that you've heard for the last 20 weeks, then please feel free to give us a review on iTunes. It's very easy, very simple, and very quick. If you are new to the podcast, then give us a follow on Spotify or a subscribe on iTunes. Make sure you like the podcast. And again, if you have any thoughts on what we're doing or you want to see certain things, then let us know. It all helps and it allows the podcast to grow. We will be back next Monday from 4 p.m. on Spotify, iTunes and Google Podcast.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.